Song of the Open Road. Allons, to that which is endless, as it was beginningless, to undergo much, tramps of days, rests of nights, to merge all in the travel they tend to, and the days and nights they tend to, again to merge them in the start of superior journeys, to see nothing anywhere but what you may reach it and pass it, to conceive no time, however distant, but what you may reach it and pass it, to look up or down no road but it stretches and waits for you, however long but it stretches and waits for you, to see no being, not gods or any, but you also go thither, to see no possession but you may possess it, enjoying all without labor or purchase, abstracting the feast, yet not abstracting one particle of it. To take the best of the farmer's farm and the rich man's elegant villa and the chaste blessings of the well-married couple and the fruit of orchards and flowers of gardens, to take to your use out of the compact cities as you pass through, to carry buildings and streets with you afterward wherever you go, to gather the minds of men out of their brains as you encounter them, to gather the love out of their hearts, to take your lovers on the road with you for all that you leave them behind you, to know the universe itself as a road, as many roads, as roads for traveling souls. All parts away for the progress of souls, all religion, all solid things, arts, governments, all that was or is apparent upon this globe or any globe, falls into niches and corners before the procession of souls along the grand roads of the universe. Of the progress of the souls of men and women along the grand roads of the universe, all other progress is the needed emblem and sustenance. Forever alive, forever forward, stately, solemn, sad, withdrawn, baffled, mad, turbulent, feeble, dissatisfied, desperate, proud, fond, sick, accepted by men, rejected by men, they go, I know that they go, but I know not where they go, but I know that they go toward the best, toward something great. Whoever you are, come forth, or man or woman, come forth. You must not stay sleeping and dallying there in the house, though you built it, or though it has been built for you. Out of the dark confinement, out from behind the screen. It is useless to protest. I know all and expose it. Behold through you as bad as the rest, through the laughter, dancing, dining, supping of people, inside of dresses and ornaments, inside of those washed and trimmed faces, behold a secret, silent loathing and despair. No husband, no wife, no friend, trusted to hear the confession. Another self, a duplicate of everyone, skulking and hiding it goes. Formless and wordless through the streets of the cities, polite and bland in the parlors, in the cars of railroads, in steamboats, in the public assembly, home to the houses of men and women, at the table, in the bedroom, everywhere, smartly attired, countenance smiling, form upright, death under the breastbones, hell under the skull bones, under the broadcloth and gloves, under the ribbons and artificial flowers, keeping fair with the customs, speaking not a syllable of itself, speaking of anything else, but never of itself. Allons, through struggles and wars, the goal that was named cannot be countermanded. Have the past struggles succeeded? What has succeeded? Yourself? Your nation? Nature? Now, understand me well. It is provided in the essence of things that from any fruition of success, no matter what, shall come forth something to make a greater struggle necessary. My call is the call of battle. I nourish active rebellion. He going with me must go well armed. He going with me goes often with spare diet, poverty, angry enemies, desertions. Allons, the road is before us. It is safe. I have tried it. My own feet have tried it well. Be not detained. Let the paper remain on the desk unwritten, and the book on the shelf unopened. Let the tools remain in the workshop. Let the money remain unearned. Let the school stand. Mind not the cry of the teacher. Let the preacher preach in his pulpit. Let the lawyer plead in the court and the judge expound the law. Camarado, I give you my hand. I give you my love, more precious than money. I give you myself before preaching our law. Will you give me yourself? Will you come travel with me? Shall we stick by each other as long as we live? I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. All alone stood it, and the moss hung down from the branches, without any companion it grew there, uttering joyous leaves of dark green, and its look, rude, unbending, lusty, made me think of myself. But I wondered how it could utter joyous leaves, standing alone there, without its friend near, for I knew I could not. And I broke off a twig with a certain number of leaves upon it, and twined around it a little moss, and brought it away, and I have placed it in sight in my room. It is not needed to remind me, as of my own dear friends, for I believe lately I think of little else than of them, yet it remains to me a curious token. It makes me think of manly love. For all that, and though the live oak glistens there in Louisiana solitary in a wide, flat space, uttering joyous leaves all its life without a friend, a lover near, I know very well I could not. Me imperturb. Me imperturb, standing at ease in nature, master of all, or mistress of all, a plum in the midst of irrational things, imbued as they, passive, receptive, silent as they, finding my occupation, poverty, notoriety, foibles, crimes, less important than I thought. Me toward the Mexican Sea, or in the Manhattan, or the Tennessee, or far north or inland, a river man, or a man of the woods, or of any farm life of these states or of the coast, or the lakes of Canada, me wherever my life is lived. Oh, to be self-balanced for contingencies, to confront night, storms, hunger, ridicule, accidents, rebuffs, as the trees and animals do. I hear it was charged against me. I hear it was charged against me that I sought to destroy institutions. But really, I am neither for nor against institutions. What indeed have I in common with them, or what with the destruction of them? Only I will establish in the Manhattan and in every city of these states, inland and seaboard, and in the fields and woods, and above every keel, little or large, that dents the water, without edifices or rules or trustees or any argument, the institution of the dear love of comrades. Hear the frailest leaves of me. Hear the frailest leaves of me, and yet my strongest lasting. Here I shade and hide my thoughts. I myself do not expose them, and yet they expose me more than all my other poems. Sometimes with one I love, I fill myself with rage for fear I effuse unreturned love. But now I think there is no unreturned love. The pay is certain one way or another. I loved a certain person ardently, and my love was not returned, yet out of that, I have written these songs. Among the multitude, among the men and women, the multitude, I perceive one picking me out by secret and divine signs, acknowledging none else, not parent, wife, husband, brother, child, any nearer than I am. Some are baffled, but that one is not. That one knows me. Ah, lover and perfect equal. I meant that you should discover me so by faint indirections. And I, when I meet you, mean to discover you by the like in you. That shadow, my likeness. That shadow, my likeness, that goes to and fro seeking a livelihood, chattering, chaffering. How often I find myself standing and looking at it where it flits. How often I question and doubt whether that is really me. But among my lovers and caroling these songs, oh, I never doubt whether that is really me. When I read the book, the biography famous, and is this then, said I, what the author calls a man's life? And so will someone, when I am dead and gone, write my life? As if any man really knew aught of my life. Why, even I myself, I often think, know little or nothing of my real life, only a few hints, a few diffused faint clues and indirections, I seek for my own use to trace out here. Beginning my studies, the first step pleased me so much The mere fact consciousness, these forms, the power of motion, the least insect or animal, the senses, eyesight, love. The first step, I say, awed me and pleased me so much, I have hardly gone and hardly wished to go any farther, but stop and loiter all the time to sing it in ecstatic songs. Beginners. How they are provided for upon the earth, appearing at intervals. How dear and dreadful they are to the earth. How they inure to themselves as much as to any. What a paradox appears their age. How people respond to them, yet know them not. How there is something relentless in their fate all times. How all times mischoose the objects of their adulation and reward. And how the same inexorable price must still be paid for the same great purchase. To the States. To the States, or any one of them, or any city of the States, resist much, obey little. Once unquestioning obedience, once fully enslaved, no nation, state, city of this earth ever afterward resumes its liberty. Out of the cradle endlessly rocking. Out of the cradle endlessly rocking. Out of the mockingbird's throat, the musical shuttle. Out of the ninth month midnight. Over the sterile sands and the fields beyond. Where the child leaving his bed wandered alone. Bareheaded. Barefoot. Down from the showered halo. Up from the mystic play of shadows, twining and twisting as if they were alive. Out from the patches of briars and blackberries, from the memories of the bird that chanted to me. From your memories, sad brother, from the fitful risings and fallings I heard. From under that yellow half moon, late risen and swollen as if with tears. From those beginning notes of yearning and love there in the mist. From the thousand responses of my heart never to cease. From the myriad thence aroused words, from the words stronger and more delicious than any, from such as now they start the scene revisiting as a flock, twittering, rising, or overhead passing, borne hither, ere all eludes me, hurriedly, a man, yet by these tears a little boy again, throwing myself on the sand, confronting the waves. I, chanter of pains and joys, uniter of here and hereafter, taking all hints to use them, but swiftly leaping beyond them, a reminiscence, sing. Once Pomonok, when the lilac scent was in the air and fifth month grass was growing, up this seashore in some briars, two feathered guests from Alabama, two together, and their nest, and four light green eggs spotted with brown, and every day the he-bird, to and fro near at hand, and every day the she-bird, crouched on her nest, silent, with bright eyes. And every day I, a curious boy, never too close, never disturbing them, cautiously peering, absorbing, translating. Shine, shine, shine. Pour down your warmth, great sun, while we bask, we two together. Two together. Winds blow south or winds blow north. Day come white or night come black. Home or rivers and mountains from home. Singing all time, minding no time, while we two keep together. Till of a sudden, maybe killed unknown to her mate, one forenoon the she-bird crouched not on the nest, nor returned that afternoon, nor the next, nor ever appeared again. And thenceforward all summer in the sound of the sea, and at night under the full of the moon in calmer weather, over the hoarse surging of the sea, or flitting from briar to briar by day, I saw, I heard at intervals the remaining one, the he-bird, the solitary guest from Alabama. Blow, 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 blow up sea winds along Pomonok's shore. I wait and I wait till you blow my mate to me. Yes, when the stars glistened, All night long on the prong of a moss-scalloped stake, down almost amid the slapping waves, sat the lone singer, wonderful, causing tears. He called on his mate. He poured forth the meanings which I, of all men, know. Yes, my brother, I know. The rest might not, but I have treasured every note. For more than once, dimly down to the beach gliding, silent, avoiding the moonbeams, blending myself with the shadows, recalling now the obscure shapes, the echoes, the sounds and sights after their sorts, the white arms out in the breakers tirelessly tossing, I, with bare feet a child, the wind wafting my hair, listened long and long. Listened to keep, to sing, now translating the notes, following you, my brother. Soothe, soothe, soothe. Close on its wave soothes the wave behind, and again another behind, embracing and lapping, everyone close. But my love soothes not me, not me. Low hangs the moon, it rose late, it is lagging. Oh, I think it is heavy with love, with love. Oh, madly the sea pushes upon the land, with love, with love. All night do I not see my love fluttering out among the breakers. What is that little black thing I see there in the white? Loud, 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 loud I call to you, my love. High and clear I shoot my voice over the waves. Surely you must know who is here. You must know who I am, my love. Low hanging moon, what is that dusky spot in your brown yellow? Oh, it is the shape of my mate. Oh, moon, do not keep her from me any longer. Land, land, oh, land. Whichever way I turn, oh, I think you could give me my mate back again if you only would. For I am almost sure I see her dimly, whichever way I look. Oh, rising stars, perhaps the one I want so much will rise with some of you. Oh, throat, oh, trembling throat, sound clearer through the atmosphere. Pierce the woods, the earth, somewhere listening to catch you must be the one I want. Shake out carols, solitary hear the night's carols, carols of lonesome love, death's carols, carols under that lagging, yellow, waning moon. Oh, under that moon where she droops almost down into the sea. Oh, reckless, despairing carols, but soft, sink low. Soft, let me just murmur. And do you wait a moment, you husky-noised sea, for somewhere I believe I heard my mate responding to me, so faint, I must be still to listen, but not altogether still. For then she might not come immediately to me. Hither, my love, here I am, here. With this just sustained note, I announce myself to you. This gentle call is for you, my love, for you. Do not be decoyed elsewhere. That is the whistle of the wind. It is not my voice. That is the fluttering of the spray. Those are the shadows of leaves. Oh, darkness, oh, in vain, oh, I am very sick and sorrowful. Oh, brown halo in the sky near the moon, drooping upon the sea. Oh, troubled reflection in the sea. Oh, throat, oh, throbbing heart, and I singing uselessly, uselessly all the night. Oh, past, oh, happy life, oh, songs of joy, in the air, in the woods, over fields, loved, 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 loved. But my mate no more, no more with me. We two, together, no more. The aria sinking, all else continuing, the stars shining, the winds blowing, the notes of the bird continuous echoing, with angry moans the fierce old mother incessantly moaning. On the sands of Palmanuk's shore, gray and rustling, the yellow half-moon enlarged, sagging down, drooping, the face of the sea almost touching, the boy ecstatic with his bare feet, the waves with his hair, the atmosphere dallying, the love in the heart long pent, now loose, now at last tumultuously bursting, the aria's meaning, the ears, the soul swiftly depositing, the strange tears down the cheeks coursing, the colloquy there, the trio each uttering, the undertone, the savage old mother incessantly crying, to the boy's soul's question sullenly timing, some drowned secret hissing to the outsetting bard. Demon or bird, said the boy's soul. Is it indeed toward your mate you sing, or is it really to me? For I that was a child, my tongue's you sleeping. Now I have heard you. Now in a moment I know what I am for. I awake. And already 1,000 singers, 1,000 songs, clearer, louder, and more sorrowful than yours, 1,000 warbling echoes have started to life within me, never to die. Oh, you singer solitary, singing by yourself, projecting me. Oh, solitary me listening. Nevermore shall I cease perpetuating you. Nevermore shall I escape. Nevermore the reverberations. Nevermore the cries of unsatisfied love be absent from me. Never again leave me to be the peaceful child I was before what there in the night, by the sea under the yellow and sagging moon, the messenger there aroused, the fire, the sweet hell within, the unknown want. The destiny of me. Oh, give me the clue. It lurks in the night here somewhere. Oh, if I am to have so much, let me have more. A word then, for I will conquer it. The word final, superior to all, subtle, sent up. What is it? I listen. Are you whispering it and have been all the time? You see waves. Is that it from your liquid rims and wet sands? Whereto answering the sea, delaying not, hurrying not, whispered me through the night, and very plainly before daybreak, lisped to me the low and delicious word, death. And again, death. 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 Hissing melodious, neither like the bird nor like my aroused child's heart, but edging near as privately for me rustling at my feet, creeping thence steadily up to my ears and laving me softly all over. Death. 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 Which I do not forget, but fuse the song of my dusky demon and brother that he sang to me in the moonlight on Pormanuk's gray beach, with 1,000 responsive songs at random, my own songs awaked from that hour, and with them, the key, the word up from the waves, the word of the sweetest song and all songs, that strong and delicious word, which creeping to my feet, or like some old crone rocking the cradle, swathed in sweet garments, bending aside. The sea whispered me.